I was gonna say
what up, yo.
I was trying to think of the Yo MTV Raps intro.
Oh yeah.
Like it would be something like that, but me doing that would just sound bad. So I'm not. What's up? This is Movies on Up. Sex, rap, and family values. I'm Dave, joined by the Dr. Dre to my Ed Lover, or the Dr. Dre to my Snoop Dogg.
I like the fact that you called me Dr. Dre, because I was going to go the Jazzy Jeff.
To my Fresh Prince.
Exactly. So I feel
the Fredro to my Sticky Fingers.
Yeah, the Flavor Flav to your other guys.
Yeah. But anyways, we are Movies on Up. The tagline for this week, sex, rap, and family values. If you know what movie that's from, hit us up, moviesonup@gmail.com, facebook.com/moviesonup, or the Twitter, @moviesonup. Special episode, I think. I'm excited about this episode. Straight Outta Compton hits theaters this week. So that got us thinking, what are our favorite movies starring rappers?
Does Straight Outta Compton actually star rappers?
No, but it's about rappers.
Yeah.
It stars Ice Cube's kid as Ice Cube.
He's not a rapper?
I don't think he is.
He looks like Ice Cube.
Yeah, I guess we could have done rap.
Movies starring rap kids.
Yeah, rapper kids. Like Mike, number one. Or wait, no, what was
He was a rapper, though.
Yeah, what was Master P's kid's name? Was that Bow Wow?
Lil Romeo?
Lil Romeo, but he was a rapper, too. Anyways, favorite movie starring rappers. Occasionally, we'll have a list that's hard to narrow down, and I'll have, like, 10 also-rans. This is one of those weeks. My main criteria, it had to star the rappers.
Uh-oh, we're already in trouble.
Well, I mean, that's just my criteria.
Sure.
Like, Method Man has a million, like, awesome supporting roles. One of my favorite rappers ever. Didn't do any Method Man movies just because... Or, I did, that's a lie. But, and it's very high.
How high?
We'll get to it later.
You see what he did there.
I did see what you did there. I didn't do any of those small roles. Ice Cube in the 21 Jump Street movies, like bit parts like that I didn't do. So I wanted it to like star the rappers. I left off Marky Mark and Fresh Prince just because, I mean, maybe some of their movies I would like.
We've done a Wahlberg list.
We've done a Marky Mark list. I'm sure if we haven't done a Will Smith, we will at some point. But how easy was this list for you?
I know three rappers. So I started with what movies were these guys in? And I was like, oh, it was Disorderlies with the Fat Boys, so there's one. What was the movie Vanilla Ice was in? Oh, yeah, Ninja Turtles 2. No, I mean, I thought of the rappers first because it seemed easy. And then I was like, okay, what movies were they in? And like you said, with Method Man, he's been in a ton, but bit parts. I don't think I have any Method Man movies. And these aren't necessarily the list of my favorite rappers, but they just happen to be movies that I kind of like, that quote-unquote star rappers. I mean, my number five... The rapper's in it for just a little bit, but it's just an excuse for me to talk about the movie. And then my number four, I mean, he's a major character in it. You know he's in it, but he's not necessarily one of the stars. But from there on out, the rapper is, it's either he's first billed or, and they're all guys.
I tried to add a Queen Latifah movie on here just to for some balance. But
Taxi.
Yeah, I couldn't. What is your number five that barely has a rapper in it?
My number five just has a little tip. Of T.I., and it's from, oh, I don't know, about 3 weeks ago. It's Ant-Man, directed by Peyton Reed, starring Paul Rudd, Michael Douglas, and Corey Stoll. Like I said, this is really just an excuse for me to talk about Ant-Man, because I saw it.
And we'll probably never, ever bring it up on this show ever.
Because we never talk about Marvel movies ever, but I thought, what the hell? I can actually put Ant-Man on this list, and it's kind of timely, so I thought I would. Scott's Merry Band of Criminals in the movie includes Dave, the getaway driver, played by T.I., and I think they're kind of a fun little band of sidekicks with maybe a little bit too much Michael Pena.
I disagree.
Maybe a little too much. I mean, he's really funny in the movie. He's very overdone, but I still think it works. I mean, he's definitely the comic relief. I mean, with Paul Rudd as your leading man, you get some funny stuff from him too. But it's a much more like kind of laid back funny, whereas the scenes that Michael Pena has are
Pena steals that movie, I think.
He sort of does. Yeah. The ending with him is really, really good too. I like that a lot. I definitely think that Ant-Man felt like an end of phase two movie, sort of the way it tied into the larger Avengers storyline that's end of phase two. I also kind of liked how they did a pretty decent job of explaining why we hadn't heard of Hank Pym, who there was an Ant-Man before that, but why in this world of superheroes are we just now, so long into it, hearing about Ant-Man pre-Avengers and all that? And I think that Paul Rudd's Scott Lang was very much a vanilla version of Tony Stark. He's smart, but he's not intimidating smart, and he's snarky, but a bit less snarky, but still a guy that you like. And I think it was is a movie that you like. My only complaint was maybe it went a little bit too long. In parts, I felt like it maybe got a little bit slow. But it definitely felt like a change of pace from the kick, kick, punch, punch Avengers stuff. And it did feel like a heist movie. And I'm glad that that's kind of how Marvel's going now, where this is a heist movie. Captain America, maybe, like you said, a political thriller.
Spider-Man's a John Hughes movie.
Right, exactly. I think that's really cool, and it gives each of these characters that have their own flavor, the movies have their own flavor, too. And I really liked the Ant-Man flavor. I think I enjoyed that more than Age of Ultron. They're definitely different movies. It was a lot lighter. It was fun. It was a good flick.
Yeah, I loved it. I don't want to harp too much on it because I know we'll talk about it more. And you kind of covered a lot of my same thoughts. I loved it. It was a nice difference. I like the personal aspect of it and the fact that the stakes can only get so high. And it seems like every Marvel movie is about saving billions and billions of lives. And I mean, this, the Endgame, would have saved a
sure.
bunch of lives, but it wasn't that imminent. We have an hour. If we fail, the world's over. I like that it was smaller scale. And
no pun intended.
Yeah. And I like the personal aspect that Scott Lang's not a billionaire playboy. He's not a genetically enhanced super soldier. He's not a Norse god. He's a dude that's a thief, and he has a daughter. So it was definitely the most human we've gotten so far. I mean, outside of...
A little bit with Hawkeye in the last...
A little bit with Hawkeye, yeah, but even with, like... Black Widow, she's hard to put in that like human category because of her upbringing. So it was nice to have a whole movie focused on that. My number five, not anywhere near as light as Ant-Man. I'm going back to 1992. I had to have Ice Cube somewhere on this list. And when you think about rapping actors, acting rappers, Ice-T is going to pop in your head. So I went with both Ice Cube and Ice-T in 1992's Trespass. I love this kind of movie. And even in 1992, when this movie came out, I was listening to Ice-T. I was listening to Ice Cube. I loved crime movies. So, okay, Bill Paxton, William Sadler find this map to where it's some treasure in some abandoned warehouse. So they go get it. Turns out that warehouse is on gang property. So it's pretty dark. It's pretty violent. Ice-T and Ice Cube, I mean, this is 1992. We're 20-plus years later, and they both have active acting careers. So there's obviously something there. They weren't DMX star in three movies and then disappear. I mean, it was the start of something pretty solid. It wasn't the first movie for either of them. But it didn't feel like gimmick casting. Like Ice Cube and Ice-T legit felt like these terrifying gangsters that you don't want to be in a warehouse on their turf.
Is this the only Ice-T movie you have?
On this list, yes.
Okay, because there was another one that I had left off, and I don't know that it...
It's one of my also... I have an Ice-T also ran.
Yeah, okay.
I have two Ice-T also ran.
From the early 90s?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I'll leave it go. Because it doesn't necessarily star Ice-T, but as soon as you said I had to have Ice-T on my list, I was like, here it comes. I'm glad I left it off. But I thought it would have been higher anyway.
Nah.
My number four, this is the one that, again, it doesn't star the rapper. It stars Al Pacino. It stars Dennis Quaid and Cameron Diaz. But I think that people remember LL Cool J from Any Given Sunday, Oliver Stone's 1999 jam. This movie should probably be higher on the list just because it's one of the few examples in human history where we actually got a really good performance from Cameron Diaz. I think she's really good as sort of that new school owner of the Sharks, I believe. And it's really kind of interesting to see her storyline because a lot of those things, like maybe it's a case of life imitating art, but if I don't get a new stadium, I'm moving. I think it really pulled back the curtain to football. It reminded me very much of like the Playmaker series that ESPN got in so much trouble for doing because it was very kind of spot on to the NFL and it didn't really cast football players and franchises in the greatest of lights. But I really like this movie. I think it's one of the best football movies ever for a sport that I think is really, really great. For whatever reason, it doesn't seem to really produce that many great football movies. I mean, I'm sure we could do a top five, and I'm sure it'd be a pretty good top five, but I feel like this one would be on there. Tons of great cameos in it. Obviously, as a Browns fan, I love the defensive coordinator being Jim Brown. And I thought that this was a really, really awesome performance from Jamie Foxx, Stephen Willie Beeman, who, you know, to that point had been kind of that sort of comic actor. I think in this movie, he showed some real flashes. We were like, oh, shit, yeah. Like, Jamie Foxx could lead some movies because he was sort of that, you know, dynamic on screen. And he was able to go from being, you know, the third-string quarterback who was throwing up in the huddle, maybe a la Jim Kelly, to this sort of megastar, big ego kind of guy. It's a great kind of ensemble movie. Much like a football team, you need all the players to work together very, very well. I thought all the cast in this worked really well. And LL Cool J, I thought, was really good, too, for a guy that played some football. He definitely didn't look like Tom Cruise in All the Right Moves, that he had no idea what the sport even was. He came off as a very believable running back, and I liked how his character was sort of like just the mercenary who was just in it for himself and at least in it for his stats for the year.
My number four, a little bit of a lighter movie than Any Given Sunday. Also, as my number five, I mentioned, starred two rappers. So does my number four. It is from 1990, starring Kid and Play, House Party. I legit love this movie. It's your standard, like, late 80s, early 90s party movie. We got a lot of these, like, teen high school drama movies. This one, I think, really sticks out. Play and Martin Lawrence are throwing a big old house party. Kid gets grounded, so they break him out. And then another group of rappers, Full Force, play the neighborhood bullies that want to teach him a lesson. Tisha Campbell's awesome. The dancing is awesome. All the dance scenes were filmed with no music, and the music was added later, which I always thought was a pretty cool thing.
It's like green screen dancing.
Yeah, because the dancing is really, really good. Robin Harris as Kid's dad is fantastic. There's a lot to this movie. I mean, it's a kid party movie, but there's heart to it. I think it's hilarious. I like Kid and Play. I like their music enough, but their movies I was really, really into.
What I appreciate about how you've described this movie is that you actually knew the difference between Kid and Play. I think a lot of folks get them confused, and they're like, you know, the one with the high top.
Kid.
Exactly, right. But you knew when you were describing the plot, you knew that it was Kid that was grounded and Play was having the party. Well, his name's Play. I mean, you know.
I legit love the movie. Like, House Party 1 and House Party 2, that number 5 spot that went to Trespass was between, like, 3 or 4 movies. Number 5 was almost House Party 2. But I couldn't in my right mind put House Party 2 at 5 and House Party at 4. So I left it off.
I mean, if this were a kid playlist, I guess you could probably do that, although I think those movies would probably have to be higher.
They'd be top 3 for sure.
My number 3 is a comedy. It stars neither Kid nor Play, but it does star a rapper who is top billed in F. Gary Gray's Friday from 1995, starring Ice Cube, Chris Tucker, and John Witherspoon, among other people. This, to me, is a case where you legitimately love House Party 2. I don't really care for Next Friday and Friday After Next. I watched them, you bet your ass, but they I don't want to sound like too much of a tool here when I say that they didn't really capture the magic that was Friday. But, you know, the sequels didn't really take any of the luster off this movie. I still love Friday, and I will watch it if it comes on, like, basic cable. I actually almost prefer that version of it just to see, like, the ridiculous TV edits that they have to make where Smokey's back there taking a squat. You just got knocked the hell out. I love all that stuff. And what I love about this movie are the characters. I mean, Ice Cube's in it, and it's his movie. But Chris Tucker, Smokey, Debo, these are characters that Smokey's on the screen for a while, but they're characters that have become sort of iconic. And in a movie like this, where you have so many characters that are kind of strong, Even John Witherspoon is Cube's dad. You remember moments from each of these guys, and that I think that's really hard to do. We talk about it with the Avengers, how everybody was able to have their moment to shine, and at no point did it feel like a mishmash or like a grease fire. And I thought Gray did a great job with this, where he gave Smokey time to be really funny, but not, you know, be way, way, way too much. Great scenes with Witherspoon just yelling at Cube. And Debo, I think, is one of the great movie villains of all time. I mean, he may not be, you know, Benedict Cumberbatch good, but I do love me some Debo. Kind of thinking about this, I don't know that we've done a list of, like, favorite drug comedies, of which, you know, that's definitely sort of a genre that we could get into. But if we really thought about it, there'd be few that are better than Friday. I love this movie. The plot's convoluted, but it doesn't matter. It's just a lot of fun.
Yeah, I have a drug comedy later on my list that I would put above Friday.
I guess you would.
Do you have any more Ice Cube on your list?
Do I have any more Ice Cube? I think that's it for the Cube.
Because when you look at it,
it could be a lot.
When you look at it, Ice Cube has had a good career, like a great career. Like, talk about covering. You have the Friday trilogy. Mm-hmm. You have two barbershops. Mm-hmm. The Triple X sequel.
Are we there yet?
The two of those. Like, yeah. He had those two family movies. He had the girl quarterback movie directed by Fred Durst. He's done a little bit of everything. It's been all over the place. And, I mean, he's still working. And I don't go rush out and see Ice Cube-led movies. He obviously can carry a movie. He obviously can get a crowd out to see him. But when Ice Cube shows up in, like, a bit part, I love it. Mm-hmm. I love him in the 21 Jump Street movies.
He is really good. The second one.
One he stole.
Yeah.
Like, he's just so good. My number three, there's kind of a theme amongst my last.
They all have rappers.
Yeah. My number five starred Ice Cube and Ice-T. My number four starred Kid and Play. My number three also stars
Kid and Play.
A pair of rappers. It is from 1992, starring Kid and Play. It is Class Act, directed by Randall Miller. This was the other Kid and Play movie that wasn't House Parties. It was the standard. It was, again, in the late 80s, early 90s, you got a lot of these mistaken identity kind of plots. And this one sticks out. It was, you have Kid playing Duncan, the smart super genius, and then Play played Blade, the guy from the wrong side of the tracks, the troublemaker, the rough kid. But due to some mix-up, now people think they're each other. And Blade's world is way different for Duncan and vice versa. But Duncan kind of likes having people be scared of him. He's never had that. Play actually kind of likes being respected. It's just a cool movie. Like, it's fun. Like, in that genre, much like the House Party movies stick out in that kind of movie, I really think Class Act did. And I will be unashamed to say that I loved Kid and Play movies in the early 90s. Because
that's become apparent.
Yeah.
Through these last couple minutes.
That's, you know, the only reason that House Party 2 wasn't number 5? It's because I already had two Kid and Play movies on my list.
People would start to question you, like, does Dave know any other rappers?
I think in the 80s, we had the Corys. 90s, we had Kid and Play. I'll take the three main Kid and Play movies over the entire career of the Corys, even though the only one that I would really hurt to lose would be Lost Boys. But if I can have the two House Parties and Class Act in place of that, I'm for it.
I feel like I should stick up for the honor of the Corys, but I'm not going to do that. I'm just...
And yes, I just compared the Corys to Kid and Play. Not favorably either.
No, not at all. I'll just move on to my number two. It is a movie that I actually kind of like all these movies a lot, and that's why they're on my list. Sometimes there may be like two or three that we really like, and the other ones are sort of like, well, this is a good movie, and I think it needs to be on there, but this is probably my favorite movie on the list, my number two. And it's from a director that I can't say is one of my favorite directors, although he does have his moments. That's Michael Bay. I really love me some Bad Boys from 1995, starring Will Smith, who, according to Dave, is not a rapper.
I never said he wasn't a rapper. I just left him off.
Oh, all right. He disrespects Will Smith's rap game because he doesn't have to curse in his raps. But I love me some clean rappers. And that's why I have Will Smith as number two on my list with Martin Lawrence and Taya Leone. Really early in the careers for both Michael Bay and Will Smith, it's before they were Michael Bay and Will Smith.
I mean, Martin Lawrence is top billed in this movie.
Yes.
That says a lot right there. There was a time when Martin Lawrence was top billed over Will Smith.
When Martin was bigger.
And this was before Michael Bay was a caricature of Michael Bay.
Yeah. I mean, there's still...
still a Michael Bay movie.
Absolutely. You can totally see
but
where,
it's not a Michael Bay movie.
Right. Exactly. I mean, there's still tons of explosions. It's an over-the-top action movie, but it's a lot of fun. I think it's well-balanced. It's got a ton of great action and a lot of really, really good humor. And I think that it would have been very easy, and obviously this was before there was sort of that Chris Tucker role, so to speak. I think it would have been very easy for Martin Lawrence to kind of be overused and to be sort of a Chris Tucker, but it's not. He's really funny in it, but funny,
not over the top.
Right, and no way is it like antagonizing to anybody. And I think that this, I mean, you know, Will Smith had been in some things. He had the Fresh Prince before this, but I think like right here, is at least where I thought, oh, yeah, this dude can absolutely headline some movies. And like you said, Martin Lawrence is top billed in it. And it is definitely both of their movies. I mean, called Bad Boys. You know what I mean? Like, you think of each of them kind of on level ground on this. And, you know, we're 20 years down the road, and we're still looking at a Bad Boys 3.
And Bad Boys 3 would open to $70
million. Absolutely.
Like, in a heartbeat.
Yeah, and that's what, so, I mean, it's, I think it's so weird, but so great about this franchise is that you can have one every 10 years or so, and, like, people are still jazzed. I remember when Bad Boys 2 was coming, I was like, hell yeah, I'm going to see this movie. This is great. And this was even after Will Smith had sort of become, he had headlined movies and he had had the whole big rap career with Millennium and all that crap. But I still love me some Bad Boys, and the second one didn't disappoint me at all.
I really love Bad Boys. Like, I as much as I'll hate on Michael Bay, like, this is before, we talk all the time about Wes Anderson is now too Wes Anderson-y because he's got this thing he has to live up to. Michael Bay is one of those. Like, his stuff is ridiculous now. This, I thought, was it's going to be the oddest oxymoron ever. It was kind of a grounded Michael Bay movie. It did have the ridiculous action, but it wasn't that over the top, I don't think. It wasn't Die Hard level realistic, but it wasn't A-Team level ridiculousness.
I mean, to me, if I had to pick between this and Lethal Weapon, I'd have a hard time.
It would be rough. It would be rough just because this has, it's more fun. Mm-hmm. It's a more fun movie than Lethal Weapon. They're both really, really good, but I almost like the dynamic between Martin Lawrence and Will Smith more.
I think I do too.
I wish we'd have gotten a few more in that time frame. Like, I think Bad Boys 2, it's enjoyable, but it's almost too much for me. Like, I like the somewhat grounded action movies. Two just kind of took it a little. I mean, the body count of the movie's
right.
Ridiculous. It's still enjoyable because those two are so good. And hell yeah, I would watch a third one. I like Will Smith enough. Martin Lawrence, I mean, we joked about him being top billed over Will Smith. He had a good movie career. I mean, he had mm-hmm. Blue Streak, Nothing yeah. to Lose. Like, those were legit big-time releases, so I absolutely will not argue with Bad Boys being on there because it's weird for me to say it about a Michael Bay movie, but I love Bad Boys. My number two, sticking with the theme of starring two rappers, we had Ice Cube, Ice-T, Kid and Play, and Play and Kid.
Kid and Play.
Now we go to 2001 where you have Method Man and Redman. Not only two of my favorite rappers of all time, Method Man is one of my three favorite voices in rap history ever. Method Man is
between Kid, Play, and Method Man.
Yes, a top three rapper for me. Redman, in the mid to late 90s, he was putting out some of my favorite rap albums ever. So, I mean, I was a giant Redman fan. So these two in a movie together, absolutely the most ridiculous pot comedy I've ever seen. If that's all it is, this movie is about smoking weed. What's the plot? Who cares? Weed. Honestly, they're going to college. They're trying to get into, they have to pass their college acceptance exam.
In case you haven't figured it out yet, it's how high.
It's how, oh yeah, did I not say how high?
No.
To not confuse it with the other Method Man and Red Man vehicles, it is it's 2001's How High. I think this movie's legitimately funny. The part where they dig up the dead president to smoke him, I don't care how many times I've seen this movie, it's a lot. I almost cried a laughter every time during that scene. When they're trying to cut his arm off just to ground him up and smoke him, it's so ridiculous. Like, just thinking of it brings so much joy. I'm not a pot dude. I don't smoke. But this movie I absolutely love.
I think you get a contact buzz from this movie.
Yeah, I feel high thinking about it just because I just want to laugh at everything. They're so damn charming. And Method Man's had a good acting career. Method Man has been around for a while. He hasn't really headlined anything major, but he shows up in these great bit parts and does awesome. Red Man I'd like to see more of because the two of them together, the chemistry, you could tell they were best friends. Like, you can tell they were fantastic friends. And this came out at a good time for college movies. Like, within a few years, this, Van Wilder, and Dead Man on Campus, I think are all three, like, great college movies. I think I like this one more than the other two. Just because of the ridiculousness of it. It's an absolutely insane, ridiculous, hilarious movie. And I wish their TV show would have done a little better. Because I would love to be going into like season 13 of Method and Red. But everything about this movie I loved. And I could go on and on. But I adore this movie.
What I appreciate about this is a lot of the college movies that you get, most of them are like the debauchery is sort of based around drinking. Which is it's a very specific kind of, you know, antics that you're going to get into when you're drunk. But when you're high, it opens up an entirely different world of crazy shit for you to do. And I do think that's where this movie kind of sticks out a little bit. Like you said, I mean, it's hard to top digging somebody up to smoke them.
The whole point is they want to smoke magic weed so they can pass their exams.
Right.
That's the plot.
And you'd have to be high to kind of buy that as a plot for a movie. But I was super skeptical coming in because I thought it was just going to be really dumb. But I'm glad I watched it because it was really funny. And I don't know what told me to leave this off the list because I like it. It definitely fit on here. I could very easily, you know, knock Ant-Man off to talk about How High. But I, for whatever reason, just kind of had a feeling that it might be on your list. My number one, I almost feel like it's sort of anticlimactic after Bad Boys because I really do like that movie. I don't know why I put 8 Mile as my number one, but I did. Curtis Hanson's 2002 joint starring Eminem, Brittany Murphy, and Kim Basinger. I think the movie was good. I think it obviously had a great song that won Eminem an Academy Award for it. And I think his performance was pretty surprising. Sometimes when you get guys that aren't actors and then they try and do it, for every Ice Cube or, you know, Ice-T, you know, we can probably see a DMX or an Althro.
The game,
Curtis 50 Cent Jackson. I think there's a lot of sort of failed attempts. Vanilla Ice, what the hell? But I thought that Eminem was pretty good. And maybe it was just a matter of the right story to tell with the right actor. And he just kind of stayed in his lane. It was pretty much Eminem.
It was too close.
Playing
yeah.
Eminem. But you know, outside of playing himself in a couple more movies, and you could argue, like I said, that B-Rabbit is kind of Eminem anyway, he really didn't force himself on movie audiences. This movie was successful, and you could see a scenario in where he would think, oh, now I'm a crossover star. I'm selling a bunch of albums. I'm going to make a bunch of movies, like 50 Cent did. But I think he had enough sense to say, you know what, I'm really not an actor. Maybe I caught lightning in a bottle here, but I'm going to stop with one good performance, and whether you like the movie or whether you don't, I still think it's pretty good. It's serviceable. I honestly think that his quote-unquote performance in the movie is the best performance I have on my list. It's not my most enjoyable movie. I'd watch Friday or Bad Boys 100 times, and I have, before I've ever seen 8 Mile for a second time. But I at least wanted to give him credit for knowing what he was doing and essentially leaving at the top of his game. That was his Super Bowl, and he retired after it.
I don't even think this is Eminem's best acting performance in a movie. I think he topped it last year with his appearance in The Interview.
Where, again, you could argue he wasn't acting.
Yeah. And my number one, I'm down to one actor. This movie stars one rapper. It's another one of those where he's one of my three favorite rap voices of all time. Dude got me through high school.
Did Snow do a movie?
I wish. I listened to this dude nonstop through high school. He put out a double album. I took off school to go buy it. And one of my favorite movies, I love crime movies. Like when Trespass came out, crime movie, I'm into it. So in 1992, when Juice came out, I was all about this movie. Here you have, this movie like screams at me. You have a movie about male friendship, which I do like. Movies that have the bond between male characters is a major factor. And then you have a crime movie, and you star Tupac. I will legit say this, straight face, 100% believe, if Tupac would not have died when he did, he would be an Oscar winner at this point. He would have won an Oscar in his career had Tupac not passed away and stayed acting. If you watch this movie, Omar Epps is awesome. Like, Omar Epps is really good. He's the lead. He's DJ Q. But Tupac steals this movie. Omar Epps is the good guy. Like, he's the good kid who wants to do right. Tupac's the dude that loses it. Maybe compare it to Marky Mark and Fear, where Fear was like, okay, Marky Mark can act. Like, Tupac outdid that in 92 in Juice. Everybody in this movie is so good. And, like, I legit think this is a fantastically acted movie. And Tupac outshines everybody. I mean, Omar Epps, Jermaine Hopkins, Sammy Jackson's in there. Like, Queen Latifah, she's just the DJ. But
there you go. You got a Queen Latifah.
Yeah, yeah. So everybody's so good in this. And when the characters feel fear, like, you feel the fear with them. Like, it's so well acted. It's so well directed by Ernest Dickerson. When they feel betrayal, you feel it. And you feel for every character. And as bad as Tupac gets, you see where he's coming from, and you still feel for him. And a lot of that is Tupac has this charm. Like, Tupac, me and Tupac in real life would not, we're from different places by far. Like, but there's something about him that I love. He was a big part of my early adulthood. And to this day, I still love Tupac. And that's kind of what you get from that character, is like, yeah, you don't agree with what he's doing, but you can see where he's coming from, and you still want to hope the best for him. And Omar Epps is awesome. It's just such a good movie, and I say that 100%, that Tupac would be an Oscar winner by now if he were still alive. My number five, I almost put Gang Related, which was his last one before he did die. He's so good in that, too. Like, just watching Tupac act is amazing. Like, I just thinking back, like, Juice is my number one because it's by far my favorite movie on this list, but it's almost like a collective Tupac career achievement
Lifetime
award.
Achievement award, yeah.
Because Gang Related, he's so good. Like, it's not his movie. It's Jim Belushi's movie, but he steals it, and it's not hard to steal from Jim Belushi, but it's a good movie, and the roles are reversed. Like, if you read the script, you'd probably assume Tupac is in the Belushi role. So, you know, Tupac's like the clean, straight guy and Gang Related, and he plays it well. Poetic Justice, he's awesome. Above the Rim, he's a phenomenal villain. The dude was awesome, and I hate so much that I lost good rap out of him for so many years, but I'm almost even more upset that I've missed out on damn near 20 years of him acting in movies and seeing where his career could go, because I really think he would have done special things, because if you watch him, he's so natural on screen. Because all those roles he plays are different. You know, Poetic Justice, Above the Rim, Juice, like everything I mentioned, he's so different in all of them. But he's so damn compelling that I think he would be at that Marky Mark Will Smith level. Like, maybe if he were still alive, I would have left him off the list because I feel like he's too big of a movie star.
It would have been too obvious.
Yeah, but if you watch Tupac act, it's something special. And he just has this presence about him on screen that's just phenomenal to watch. And Juice is on, I believe it's on Netflix. If you haven't seen Juice or you haven't watched it in a while, watch it. It's a fantastic movie. And I say that 100% unironically. I mean, I love all of my five, I could give or take. I mean, I liked it, but my top four, I love. I get excited when we do lists where it's like, I legit love the movies. Sometimes we do lists. It's like, oh, my number five is this. It's a movie. I could go on, and I could do a top five Tupac movie if I had to and still have that passion just because he's so good, and Juice is like his pinnacle of this is how awesome this guy could be, and I'm pissed that we missed out on so much of this.
I mean, I think you talked to a couple of the ones that you left off. I feel like we may have left off a relatively obvious one, but there's only, again, with having five, there's so much you can do, and I don't think Ice Cube was necessarily, he had to kind of star the movie, and he was a big part of Boys in the Hood, but I don't know, maybe that's why you left it off. I left it off just because I felt like it was kind of, that movie's so good. Not that, you know, more people have seen Boys in the Hood than have seen 8 Mile, but I just kind of felt like there are so many other lists that I think I would put Boys in the Hood on because it is that good that I just left it off this. Belly is another one that I think is kind of good, and it has a shit ton of rappers.
A ton of rappers in that one, yeah.
Pretty much everybody in the movie is a rapper or a pop sensation with TLC. Boys in the Hood I liked a lot. Belly I didn't like enough to kick off one of my other ones. But
Boys in the Hood I loved. It's a fantastic movie, but I put Juice in that, like, Boys in the Hood seems to get a lot of love still. Like, it went down as a classic. Mm-hmm. I think Juice is right there with. Of the two, I like Juice and think Juice is a better overall movie. Maybe not as powerful as Boys in the Hood.
Right. Different stories.
Different stories. They're both fantastic movies, and that's kind of why I left them all. For the most part, my list was pretty lighthearted.
Yeah.
I think all my movies, except for How High, were between 90 and 93. But my also-rans, I had House Party 2. Mm. Tank Girl Ice-T. Yeah. Is that the one you were alluding to about Ice-T?
No, I was thinking maybe Surviving the Game.
Oh, I completely forgot about that movie.
I like that.
That would be an also-ran because I love that movie.
Sure.
I think I had it on a list before where I raved about it.
And I thought Ricochet was going to be one of them,
Ricochet was almost on there. Ricochet was an also-ran. I completely skipped over Surviving the Game. It would have been on there. New Jack City.
Sure, yeah.
Deep Blue Sea. LL Cool J.
Yeah. When I was going through, like, I wanted to put an LL Cool J movie on there.
I'm sure Jason West is probably shocked that Deep Blue Sea did not make my list. Deepest
Blue,
my hat
Twitter.
Is like a shark's fin. The best rapping theme song to a movie starring that same rapper ever, even better than Men in Black or Wild Wild West. Ed Gang Related, Disorderlies, Four Brothers with Andre 3000.
And Mark Wahlberg.
Yes.
He's a rapper, too.
Get Him to the Greek. It didn't star Diddy, but he stole the show.
Sure.
So I left that. And then this one was very, very hard to leave off. It was almost my number five, but I didn't want to talk about it too much because I don't think a lot of people have seen it. I talk about Method and Tupac being two of my three favorite rappers of all time. One of my other top three rap voices of all times is Sticky Fingers. And he wrote, directed, and starred in A Day in the Life, which is a rap opera, which is pretty amazing. It is ridiculous because you do have Michael Rapaport rapping poorly. I enjoyed it mostly because I enjoyed him, and he had a run as an actor. He was Blade for the TV show. Yeah, I'm a big Sticky Fingers fan, and I could not have A Day in the Life on there.
I was going to put Chappie on there just to piss you off again.
I almost thought of it. Like, that made me think outside the box.
Yeah.
Busted is this movie from, like, the late 90s that starred Goldie. He's a British, like, gangster rap. Like, a gritty, urban Guy Ritchie movie, essentially. And Goldie was actually really good. Like, he's just this big dude with just giant gold teeth. He was actually really good in that movie, but I don't think he did much afterwards. So, I mean, I tried to think outside of the box to come up with any other rappers.
There's
that
just a lot. I mean,
so there's so many of them.
It's hard to kind of wrangle the list in your head as to.
This is one of the most broad ever. Because what if I'd have included Marky Mark or Will Smith movies, or if I'd have counted Method Man's smaller roles, or
the rest of the Wu-Tang Clan?
Ludacris didn't even make our list,
right? Like, none of the Fast movies.
No, T.I. He's been in some good stuff.
He
did make the list, but DMX had a legit three-movie run as an action star. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's our rappers list. That I could go on. What we haven't even touched on in this episode is how excited I am for for Straight Outta Compton.
Oh, yeah.
I think it looks fantastic. I don't like biopics. I really don't. I had no interest in Notorious. Like, I didn't watch 8 Mile or 50 Cent's 8 Mile. Like, I didn't watch either of those. But Straight Outta Compton looks so good, and I really, really want to see it.
It's one thing to make a biopic for a guy that or a group that maybe really didn't do all that much, but I think with, you know, a story like NWA's, like, there's a lot to tell there.
And maybe it's because I remember it. Like, maybe it's at the point where, like, I was growing up as NWA was hitting. I remember the media shitstorm that they created. Like,
not that Ray Charles didn't have a good story to tell.
It was before me. Yeah, exactly. Like, NWA is going to be...
That's our wheelhouse.
It's going to be, like, nostalgic to me. Yeah. So I'm really excited for that. But if we missed your favorite movie from a rapper, which I'm 100% sure we would because there was a lot to choose from, who are your three favorite rappers of all time? Hit us up, moviesonup@gmail.com, facebook.com/moviesonup, Twitter, @moviesonup. You can find more of me at Dave Bacella on Twitter or davebacella.com. Check out our news episodes. Myself and Mike Mann have been doing news episodes, been trying to do them every week. They're usually hitting around Thursday morning. We're trying to keep them short so we don't ask to take up too much of your time each week. Check those out. Let us know. Always looking for feedback. Whether for this format of the show or the news show, hit us up, moviesonup@gmail.com. We always love hearing from you and are always looking for feedback. So we'll be back next week with another awesome episode.
It will be an awesome
episode. I don't know how many Kid and Play movies I'll be able to sneak in there. But
none, I don't think, because it is a very specific movie episode. It is my favorite Star Wars jam. It is Empire Strikes Back next week.
Oh, that's next week.
Yeah, that's next week.
I thought that was a long time from now, but that's very awesome, and I'm very excited because that is also my favorite Star Wars jam. I would say it's the house.
There's a black guy in it.
It's the House Party 2 the Star Wars franchise.
House Party 2 didn't make your list,
but it might. It's darker than House Party 1.
Okay, I see. I see where you're going.
So that's it. Until next time,
keep it up.